Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your role in the show.
My name is Regina Aquino. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I play the singer in We're Gonna Die.
Awesome. And this is the final show of the season for Roundhouse Theater, another virtual show. And it runs Monday, June 14th, all the way through July 11th. So a lot of time to see it. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yes, it's my pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. So tell us what's the basic premise here? What's this about?
So I know that the title of the show is, it's pretty sensational and very eye-catching, but it is about the fact that we are going to die. And it's about, I think my elevator pitch is, it's a play about what we do when we experience feelings of pain and isolation, and how we comfort ourselves and how we find comfort in each other.
Is it true? Didn't the playwright write it like right after her own father died?
I'm not quite sure. So Young Jean Lee likes to keep, she likes to distance herself from it and say that these are stories from different people, that they are all real stories, but that they happen from different people. Right. So based on that fact, I didn't try and dig in to find out how much of it was personally her experience. But when you watch her performance, it all feels just like her experience. So it would not surprise me if she wrote this in response to all of these very personal stories. Like, I assume that they all happened to her. I also assume that none of them happened to her. And I wanted to approach the text in that way. They are all true stories, that I can tell you.
Gotcha. And I know it's a one woman play. So that's gotta be a heavy lift there. What is the runtime? How long are you out there in a row? And B, you know, yeah, just like, what are the challenges of doing a one woman show?
So they are very, very different from doing a play with other people. I realized how different they were the very first time that I had to walk out on stage and perform it in its entirety, in front of people who hadn't seen it before and who hadn't worked on it with us. The first time we had like 15 people in the audience was when the majority of the staff from the theater came, and I was standing in the wings listening to the Chance Club, who is amazing. And I realized that if I dropped a line, there would be no one to help me in terms of dialogue or cues. And that I just had to trust that I knew everything, which I did. You know, that's the point of rehearsal. But I had never done a one-person play before. Even something that I had done that was similar had other people on stage with me. And so this was the first time that I knew that I had to do it all on my own. And it was a little nerve-wracking the first time I walked out there. But once you start the show, the flow of it just continues. And so that I was able to work through. In terms of rehearsal and blocking and attacking the text, it is very different, because typically when you're acting with other people on stage, you're responding to their stimulus and you're responding to how they interpret their characters, and you're living and responding in that moment. Whereas in this show, everything needs to be very carefully rehearsed and plotted out and decided, like the general outline of what you're going to do needs to be planned and in your body. And then you can have organic reactions to what you're saying and what you're doing, but the foundation has to be solid. So it is different, very different from acting with other people.
Oh, I can't even imagine. It's really impressive. I know, so there's a lot of local angles to this too, because I know you grew up in Arlington, right? And then, or I don't know if you grew up there, but you're based there at least. And then there's also a band, like a DC go-go band, the Chance Club.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Maryland. I actually grew up in PG County, and I currently live in Arlington. So this is my hometown. I've traveled the world and I went to school somewhere else, but this is where my whole family lives. This is my community. I love it. So I plan on being here for the rest of my life. And the Chance Club is a band. They're actually more of like a rock band, but they can play go-go. So there is go-go in the show. And we spend a lot of time highlighting all of us in the band. And I think, yeah, every single person in the show is from this area. And the Chance Club has been an existing band for the past 6 years. They play all over Maryland and DC. And as you mentioned, we incorporate go-go into the show. We also incorporate my Filipino ethnicity into the show. There's a huge Filipino community here in the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. So that was very meaningful to me, but we were all very, very proud of also on the set, there are all of these posters of like DC punk bands, like Bad Brains and the Wilson Center was up there. Like there are just so many, and Jawbox, so much of DC and its spirit is in this show.
Okay, so we know, you know, that it's a one woman show. We got this music as part of the backdrop. But you know, some of the themes, it's sort of end of life stuff. But tell me about your actual character. You know, what's her name and what's sort of her character arc?
So this is what's interesting about this particular play is that the way that Young Jean Lee wrote it, which, you know, is a collection. She likes to say it's a collection of stories from different people that are all true and factual, but they are sort of distanced from the person playing the show. My role doesn't actually have a name. It's just the singer. And all of the other characters in the band are the drummer, the guitarist, the keyboardist. So we're more like storytellers. And any of the names that are used in the play are about other people that we're telling a story about, but never about ourselves. So conceptually, it really is written so that anyone can step into this role.
So are you playing multiple roles?
I'm playing one person, but it's really almost like I'm a storyteller. It's like this weird play / cabaret / rock show that I love because she plays with the form of theater. Like you don't really know sometimes who this person is. And at the same time, you feel like you're so deeply connected to what they're saying because what she talks about are all universal experiences. Anyone could play this role.
Gotcha. Sounds pretty cool. And sounds like not a straightforward, you know, cookie cutter narrative. Sounds like she's bending and breaking the form and you get to be the vehicle for that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's so awesome.
What do we see in terms of, you know, is there any like set design? You know what I mean? What are we looking at visually? Since we're a radio station, try to paint me like a visual picture of what we see.
Okay, so I think the set is absolutely stunning. It's a two-level set, and there's a staircase in the center, and the set is sort of divided into five different, it's almost like lanes of color, and the back walls of the set are covered in like DC rock band posters that I had mentioned before. And just,
oh yeah, like Bad Brains. Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah, yeah, and Bikini Kill. It was so great. Like the set designer also incorporated my Filipino heritage by painting large illustrations of Kalinga tattoos, which are Kalinga tattoos. They're the tattoos of a specific tribe in the mountains of the Philippines. And there's a very, very famous tattoo artist named Wang Od. And she is, I think she's like 103 years old and she's still tattooing and she's teaching an apprentice. And that's part of our tribal indigenous heritage that was almost wiped out by the Spanish. So the fact that it's now starting to just have this resurgence and the set designer brought that in to sort of incorporate just not just like the musical heritage and the cultural heritage of DC, but also the indigenous heritage in my ethnicity was very, very meaningful to me. So just imagine you have a blue and yellow and bright red and purple and green sections of this stage, and then these beautiful geometric illustrations on the back wall covered in punk rock posters, Fugazi and Jawbox, and then underneath, each on the first level are the band members. They each have their own cubicles. So when they designed this, it was still the peak of the pandemic. The vaccines hadn't been rolled out as thoroughly as they have been. So no one had any idea whether or not we'd be able to perform in the same space or be near each other. But when we all walked in at that point, we were all vaccinated and Roundhouse continued to go through testing every other day to make sure that we were safe. But all the band members have their own cubicles, almost their own rooms. And it's sort of like teenage rooms where it's, the back wall is completely covered in posters and the lighting shifts and they're all lit up. It's the most beautiful set design. When all the lights are hitting it, it almost sometimes looks like a Madonna show. Like it's so, the colors just pop, and it's really like just the textures on the wall. And then the band is just featured. And then I have this, it's like I have a playground where I get to run up and down these stairs, and I get to play up on the balcony and then down on the ground level. So it seems very simple when you first see the set, but it allows me so much freedom in terms of how I get to play and what I get to do. And it transforms from song to song.
For sure. All right. Well, I guess sort of in closing, I believe this is your first time performing with Roundhouse, isn't it? Like, talk about the theater itself and, you know, how it's been a treat to work with them for the first time.
Yeah, this is my first show with Roundhouse, and I'm very grateful. I've never had the opportunity to play a Filipino before, and the fact that that Roundhouse as an institution was at the very forefront of the Black Lives Matter movement that just sparked this, the national conversation, but also a conversation within the theater community last year. They've been very vocal about, you know, stop AAPI hate. So I felt very welcome as a Filipino woman. And in terms of the support and just the COVID preparation, every day we went in, we were all masked and socially distant. And the band and I, the Chance Club and I, were all vaccinated. So we slowly started to get closer and closer as we rehearsed. There's even like a dance section. There's choreography that happens in the show. You have to watch it. It's really great. Even the band dances. And by the end of the rehearsal process, we were all sort of in our own bubble, but I felt very supported by the organization in terms of safety. Paige Hernandez Fun is, I think, one of the most brilliant theatrical minds in the country. And it's my second show with her. So I was very grateful for that. But in terms of the staff of Roundhouse, everyone was great and so supportive, and it felt like family from day one. And it was so hard to close the show, and everybody was excellent. And it just felt like a very collaborative place to be, on top of the fact that we were all just so grateful to be making art together. So I commend them for designing a season that made it possible for theater to exist and actually feel effective and real and theatrical on film.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us again, everyone. It's called We're Gonna Die. Don't let the title scare you off. I mean, it's true. We are all gonna die, but it sounds like it's bubbly, rocking, some go-go. The visuals sound like a lot of thought was put into it. So again, everyone, it's We're Gonna Die, June 14th through July 11th, streaming. Head over to roundhousetheater.org. Hey, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Jason. I really appreciate you having me.